Hey, I hope everyone's week's going well. Our learning should be the Tzchus Refuah Shleima for Daniel ben Fruma and Yisrael Yitzhak ben Devorah Malka. If you look at one of the last Rashi's in last week's Parshas Toldos, Rashi tells us a very insightful thing, and then he repeats himself in our Parsha as well, that Yaakov Avinu stops off for 14 years to learn Torah in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. And Rashi tells us last week, and he gives us a whole calculation, 14 years that he's in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, he didn't sleep, right? Lo shachav balayla, shahaya osik b'tor. So if you look in the calculation, the Gemara says in Megillah, daf tes zayin on the base, the Gemara says, Godol tamat Torah yoser mikibud aveim. Gemara says, a very interesting thing, the tamat Torah is greater than kibud aveim. How do we know that? Shekol oson shonim shahaya yakovino b'beis, b'bayis, b'beis, that basically every single minute that Yaakov Avinu learned Torah in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, he wasn't punished.
Does it say yeshiva?
It says yeshiva. It says Shaiva bebeis, bebeis ve Shem Ve'ever.
It doesn't use the word
yeshiva. It doesn't say yeshiva. It says bebeis. So I want to come to ask a couple questions. First, you know, clearly Rivka had her intention to send Yaakov Avinu because Esav wanted to kill him. Yitzchak wanted him to get married. Why in the world is Yaakov Avinu stopping off to learn Torah? He didn't have Talmud Torah in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have Torah in Be'er Sheva. Why in the world is he stopping off for 14 years? And specifically, and more importantly, why is he stopping off in their yeshiva? I guarantee you there's a lot more yeshivas that I don't think Avram Avinu built some yeshivas that his entire life was spent of bringing Jews closer or bringing people closer to God. Monotheism. Why didn't he just stop off somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael? Why did he specifically go to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever? And this isn't my question, this is Yaakov Kamenetsky's question, and we're just going to put that question on hold. Number two, Beis. If you look in the first pasuk of the Parsha, the pasuk says, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayele Charana. It's giving this whole thing, like Yaakov departed from Be'er Sheva and went to Charan. What's the significance of knowing where he came from, where he went to? It seems so extra. What are we in Parshas Matos, Maseh? We have to know where Yaakov's coming from, where he's going. Again, it's not my question, that's Rav Moshe's question. So Rav Yaakov's question is Aleph, why specifically Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever? Specifically, why? What's the connection now in the first pasuk that he left Be'er Sheva and he came to Charan? And Gimel, and finally, obviously as we try to do always, is how does this connect now to Kislev? How does this connect to Chanukah? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says such a beautiful explanation of why is it, and he goes through a whole arichas, if you want to see it inside, we don't have time to go through the whole thing inside, but why is it that he stopped off in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever? It's a Peladiga thing. There are plenty more yeshivas. Why did he stop there? And why wasn't he punished? So he basically says an amazing thing. He says that Yaakov Avinu's learning, specifically in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, was a preparation. It was a hechsher mitzvah, if you want to say, in halachic terms. It was a hechsher mitzvah to go out now into Lavan's house. Because he knew that his uncle, or his mother told him, by the way, you should just know he's a Ramay. He wasn't good growing up, and I guarantee you he's gonna try to pull some shtick over also here now. So says Rav Yaakov, why wasn't he punished? Clearly he wasn't punished because it was part of the commandment, right? He was only punished for 22 years that he wasn't there. That, Yosef, right? Yosef was sold at 17. He only came back at 39, right? He wasn't punished for those 14 years because those 14 years were part and parcel of actually going to now to live with someone who's gonna have a bad influence on him. Who's going to have a bad hashpa on him? Who's the person? Who's the yeshiva that learned how to be strong, how to deal with evil, how to deal with negative influences, but still grow? Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. Shame was dafka from the door of Flago. When there was Gezel going on, and there was Gili Arias going on, and there was kidnapping going on. The whole list goes on and on. If you look at all the Mamar Chazal, why specifically did Yaakov go to that yeshiva? Because that yeshiva showed how to live in a place where there's a lot of negative things happen, where there's a lot of things that aren't so good. Specifically, he went there to be able to learn those messages. Beautiful, beautiful idea. But this is the cherry on top. You know, you've got the whole cake here. There's a cherry on top. Well, hopefully we're going to read in Parshas Vayeshev, Paraglam Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk says, V'Yisrael Avas Yosef Mikol Banov. Yaakov loved Yosef out of all of his sons. Ki ben zukunim hulo. He was his ben zukunim. He was his, however you want to translate that. He was his favorite child. He was at the top of the list. Says Rashi, right on that pasuk, what was so special about Yosef? Kol mad shalomad mishem ve'ever, he gave over to Yosef. Why specifically did he learn Torah, yeshiva, shem ve'ever? Well, is there a different Torah of the yeshiva, shem ve'ever, and then the rest of the Torah that he learned about the rest of the Shvatim? 100% there was. Yaakov inu saw beruch hakodesh, says of Yaakov, that Yosef would also have to go into a place in his life where he was going to be surrounded by negative influences, and he was going to be surrounded by unfamiliar territory. What did he teach him? He taught him specifically not just Torah, but Torah shem ve'ever. A beautiful, beautiful insight from Rav Yaakov. Why specifically wasn't he punished? Because it was a hechsher mitzvah. It was part of the mitzvah of knowing now to go get married. It was part of the mitzvah of kidah v'aim. And number two, why specifically yeshiva shem ve'ever? Because that yeshiva showed there was a specific type of hashkafa of how to live around people who weren't doing the best things, but still being still being strong to your values.
Facebook page of yeshiva shem ve'ever is come here, learn shit.
Exactly.
Learn how to protect yourself.
Learn how to protect yourself, or learn how to... Exactly. This idea, by the way, we're going to see how this idea, at least I think about it a lot. We're specifically going to see how Rav Moshe... Survival skills. We're going to see how this Rav Moshe piece actually ties in perfectly to this whole idea. So we said Rav Moshe's question is, why is he telling us that he left from Be'er Sheva, came to Haran? So he says an amazing idea. He says that if you look... In the whole entire Torah, why is it that Kfitas HaDerech, that right, what does Chazal say? That Yaakov Avinu realized that he passed by Yerushalayim. So what happens? He got Kfitas HaDerech and he came back to Yerushalayim. Says Rav Moshe, do you want to know why specifically it says that he left Be'er Sheva and he came to Haran? To show you, Yaakov Avinu, you could still grow in a place just like you grew in Be'er Sheva, just like you grew in Eretz Yisrael, just like you grew with your father and you learned Torah Yom HaVelayla with your father and you had your mother make you three meals a day and you say Brain Parshas with Kavana, you can also learn the Kavana B'Haran. You can also learn Torah in Haran, where you don't have the familiar settings. You don't have the quote unquote the comfortable things that you're used to. You know, you're living by yourself. You're on the run. But don't think, says Rav Moshe, you think you could just throw it all away. Mikol Makom Hechlit Shagam Sham. Yuchal livnos makom Torah kimo be'er Sheva. Why specifically does the pasuk tell us that he left Be'er Sheva and came to Haran? Just tell me that he came to Haran. Why the emphasis of Be'er Sheva? To show Yaakov Avinu that specifically the same Yaakov you were in Be'er Sheva, you could also now be in Haran. Right? Gamzu makom Torah. You could also make that a makom Torah. Beautiful, beautiful. Rabbi, I would love to hear your insights. What do you say? I've heard. If you want to hear, an amazing shiur on that whole Mishnah, Rabbi Eli Mansour once given an unbelievable shiur. Rabbi Eli Mansour, everyone knows who that is, Rabbi from Brooklyn, unbelievable shiur that on tying in that whole Mishnah. What's going on? Why is he saying that? What's the answer? Beautiful, beautiful idea. Yes.
I heard the answer to that question.
Yeah.
He said, how do you know that there's no prayer there?
Right.
What was his clue?
Right.
So they offered him money. Instead of telling him how much he could accomplish, instead of about cash, he knew already that it's not the right place.
So he knew that if they start telling Gashmias, then it's not for me. Beautiful. Okay. Excellent, excellent. A couple of weeks ago, my in-laws live in Miami Beach. So they had I don't know if you saw online, in Yeshiva World News, they had like this thing that, this new shul in Miami Beach, they're making a new building called Avos Torah. They're across the street from Tower 41. It's a very nice place. I mean, Nuas is a very big Talmud Chacham. He's very special. So they had like a shul trip. And they went to all the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, and they had this thing that they put some cement on like this, some sort of like stone, and that was going to be the foundation. So they went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they went to Avon Leit Shteim, and they went all around to the big tzaddikim. So what happened was my brother-in-law was making a bar mitzvah Leah Shabbos, so he took the bar mitzvah boy, and they came in to see Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And it's always, usually the brachas of Chaim Kanievsky are, used to be bracha v'atzacha, now there's something called bruha. It's like the Rashi tables of bracha v'atzacha. I have an interesting story for another time. One time something happened to me. But what happened to him is the following story. He has payas. And what happened was he came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and Rav Chaim, like, he wasn't so interested in all the adults. There was like 15 adults. He wanted to talk to the bar mitzvah boy. So he looked at him, and he realized that he had his payas behind his ear. Payas behind his ear. So Rav Chaim turned to him, and he said, never be embarrassed. Never be embarrassed and leave your payas behind the ear. Right? Listen, at the end of the day, the kid was doing it lahachas, he wasn't. He was trying to teach him a lesson. Now you're becoming a bar mitzvah boy. What are you showing to? What are you valuing? Are you valuing your Judaism? Are you valuing your ability to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Not saying that we all have to go around with our pace and looking differently and not respectfully. But to know, he was trying to give him the message. Don't Don't feel like you're just another American person. You're another. Know how special it is to be part of the Jewish nation. Know how special it is to be a Jew. And this isn't just Rav Chaim. If you look in the Ramah, this is the opening siman in Halachic Sefer. The Ramah is not, last time I checked, it's not a Machshava Sefer. He writes the following Gersa. V'lo yizbayish mibnei b'nei Adam, hamal yigim alav, v'avodos Hashem yizbarach. Don't be embarrassed. Someone's going to make fun of your avodos Hashem, that your payers are out. Don't be embarrassed about your, never be embarrassed someone who's going to mock you or someone who's going to make fun of you. I'll be honest with you. I have pace. I don't walk around with my pace. But when I go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I've known from previous times. I always make sure he's looking for sincerity. If I you know when the Gadol Dor tells you to do something, it's a good thing to listen. It's a good thing to listen. A couple weeks ago, I went to a Jets Dolphins game. My father-in-law is a big Dolphins fan. I'm a Jets fan. So we went to the game. It was right around the whole thing, and it's still happening. The players sitting for the national anthem, it was the whole thing. So under my New York Rangers hat, I didn't have a kippah. Usually sometimes I'll wear a kippah under, but this time I didn't have it. So at the national anthem, I decided to leave my hat on. Boy, was I mistaken. Right after the national anthem, a Jets fan, I thought he would see the Ranger, the New York thing, we had like a special connection, starts yelling at me, "Why'd you leave your hat on? Why'd you leave your hat on?" So I wasn't looking for a fight. I just like smiled at him. I just said, "I'm sorry," and that's it. At the end of the day, we want to be respectful, 100%. But to note that, no, I don't feel comfortable, even for a minute and a half, to have my head uncovered, because I, to be honest, I didn't even think of that, someone would be so hurt by it, and then I felt so bad. So the next time I go to a game, I have to make sure that I wear a double covering now, because some Jets fan, maybe because the Jets were losing, so maybe that he was a little upset about it. But at the end of the day, no, I'm so sorry. I'm an American Jew, right? There's two ways to say it, an American Jew and a Jewish American. I'm not an American Jew. I'm a Jewish American, and Judaism comes before me, and I'm not giving mussar to anyone. Anyone thinks I'm talking down, the only person I'm talking to is myself. How do we view ourselves? Are we American Jew, or are we Jewish American? Are we modern Orthodox? Is the thing that modern comes first, or are we Orthodox modern, right? It sounds a little weird, because no one says, "I'm an Orthodox modern Jew." But if we say modern Orthodox, that's implying that the modern comes first. We have to be like Rav Yaakov. We have to be Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky to realize that we're living in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. Every single one of us has decisions in our life. What do we choose from? Are we in the yeshiva of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or do we be negatively influenced by our surroundings? Just to conclude, two more things. What do you say? Okay, very good. Right, 100%. Beautiful. Okay, listen, I'm not saying not to be respectful and to be part of the culture and have a lot of karas to top, 100%. But to realize your values, to realize what comes, they're your priorities first. Sometimes in life, I'm sure this has happened to other people here, you have rebbeim that you never had the zuchus to meet one day. You never met them. You learn their Torah, you learn an idea maybe online, or you listen to them online, you never met them. There's a rabbi who died a few years ago, his name is Rabbi Lazer Geldzahler. This is Yartzeit tomorrow night. Lazer Geldzahler was a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. Tremendous mashpia. He actually died in a crazy, crazy way. He was with his yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And what happened was the bus driver was going off the road, or he was texting. I don't know. It's not so clear what exactly happened. And our blazer was sitting in front of the bus, and he was able to swerve the bus back in the road. But when he did that, the bus crashed, and he saved the entire bus. But unfortunately, he had a lot of injuries when that happened. And a couple weeks later, he succumbed to some of those injuries. When I say that this biography of Blazer Geldzahler has changed my life, it would be such an understatement, because I feel like he's my Rebbe in so many different ways, but specifically in this one story. I'm just going to read it from the book right here. I highly, highly recommend it. If someone wants to, you know, sometimes you read a Gadol book and it's like so out there, it's like so not practical. This is like the opposite of that. It's something that it's very practical and very easy to connect to. So it says a story about him. He once took a Motzei Shabbos flight to Eretz Yisrael. I'm assuming it wasn't halal. A friend on the same flight had changed out of his big day Shabbos before the trip, and he was surprised to see Reb Lazer board the flight still in his shtreimel, looking royal with his Rebbe Shabekesha running down the front. Reb Lazer noticed his astonished glance. He said, "By me, it's Motzei Shabbos," he said for me. "So why should I let the fact to that most people here at Saturday night, that doesn't mean anything to change what I believe to, right? Like, I have to believe that it's Motzei Shabbos." One of his frequently repeated ideas was that of the Kotzker Rebbe. Beautiful idea. Parsha Shalach. When the Meraglim related how the inhabitants of the land appeared to them as giants and looked down upon them as grasshoppers, the pasuk concludes with the words, "V'chein hayinu be'enehem," and so we were in their eyes. And so we were in their eyes. The Kotzker Rebbe asks the following question: If they were looked down upon as grasshoppers, then why were they faulted for feeling discouraged? They were looked down upon. Why were they punished for feeling discouraged? They didn't do anything wrong. They were looked down upon. Why were they punished for feeling discouraged? So Rabbi Eliezer would share the Rebbe's answer with his passion and his voice rising, saying the following. It says Yiddish, but we'll just go straight to the English. He says, why do you attach importance to how they look at you? He's trying to show his students, his fellow colleague. At the end of the day, it might look a little different. It might look a little weird, but what do you value in your avodas Hashem? Do you say that at the end of the day, this is what a Jew is, and I'm going to change the way I dress? No. It's Motzei Shabbos, it's not Saturday night. Motzei Shabbos is Motzei Shabbos, and Saturday night. Just the last idea, how this connects all back to Hanukkah. If you look at all the Svarim, all the Svarim basically say the same thing. What did the Yevanim want to do? They did not want us to not learn Torah. They wanted you to learn Torah. They wanted you to realize that the Torah is the same thing as Greek philosophy. And it's the same thing as there's nothing different about us. What were the three things, the four mitzvahs that they didn't want us to do? It's the four things that actually make us different. Shabbos, Chodesh, Mila. It's the three or four things that actually make it to say no. We might live in the same world. We might live in the same street. And we might go to the same Publix in the same Winn-Dixie. And we might go to the same butcher block. But at the end of the day, to realize, no, I have Shabbos. Shabbos, it says there's a break from the rest of the week. Rosh Chodesh, Bris Mila, these things might not make sense, but it's something to hold on to. So Hashem should bless us. Obviously, 100% to be respectful, and not God forbid, to cause a chilul Hashem. That's not what I'm saying at all. But to realize, down deep, are we proud to be Jews? Are we proud to be Jews? Like my nephew at Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky, the number one message he was showing him, be proud to be Jewish. Be proud that you're part of the Jewish people. Hashem should bless us. We should feel this in our entire lives. Be'ezus Hashem, as we get closer to Hanukkah, to feel these messages. Be'ezus Hashem.